For its presidential transition work, the National Academy of Public Administration has convened a series of panels, and they've come up with ideas, actions a new administration can take to make sure its policy goals actually happen. One of those actions is the application of something called strategic foresight. Joining me with what it is and how it can help, the chairman of the panel, John Kamensky. He's also senior fellow at the IBM Center for the Business of Government. John, good to have you back.
Thank you, Tom.
Tell us, first of all, what is strategic foresight?
Well, strategic foresight is longer term and attempts to take into account alternative scenarios, which is different than the traditional strategic planning. Strategic planning is nearer term and based on predictions based on known factors. So strategic foresight, and an example of it was that back in 1956, President Eisenhower created the interstate highway system that wasn't completed until 1992. That is strategic planning because you were able to plan something. But strategic foresight is they didn't tend to account for consequences such as the creation in flight to the suburbs and the shift from shipping via rails to trucks and the division of city neighborhoods by highways. So factoring in those kinds of longer-term consequences of decisions is something that we're encouraging the next president to do.
How can someone know what the long-term consequences are? I mean, the highway system, in retrospect, it's easy to see that these things would have happened, but how could you know in 1956 or 1946?
Yeah, well, when the foresight community gets together, what they do is they will have alternative scenarios and be able to sort of game out how things might or might not work. So it gets in a way into something else that we would call risk management. And it's trying to game out some of these kinds of things, and you bring in a wide variety of different kinds of people that would come up with optimistic scenarios, very pessimistic scenarios, et cetera. And in fact, that's something the panel has been doing. It's been sponsoring sort of a learn-by-doing kind of thing by working with a number of different groups to have these kinds of scenario planning exercises.
And when you are thinking about what the consequences might be of a long-term strategy, it seems like maybe the best source of what the consequences could be would be people that disagree with you.
Yes, absolutely. That's why you need a wide variety of people involved in it, because if everybody is into groupthink and thinks along the same things, you're not going to come up with the outliers of, gee, we didn't think of that kind of thing.
Now, had someone said, well, this is what's going to happen with the highways, the suburbs are going to get big and we're going to have traffic jams and society will be reordered, would they not have done that, do you suppose? Or?
Oh, no. I think they would have done it because it was being built largely for civil defense purposes. But the consequences of other factors just hadn't, that I'm aware of, ever been thought of in those times, and that you could factor that into your city planning and citizen engagement and stuff like that.
Having defined strategic foresight, what are the recommendations of the panel for what the administration should do with it?
Well, the panel came up with three recommendations. The first is to start with a transition team, actually, and do a 100-day assessment into the new administration of issues that might derail the president's top 5, 10, 15 priorities, so that people would sort of game out what would be the consequences of taking this path versus that path on a different presidential priority. Another is to create a capacity within the White House for engaging foresight with policymaking, to have a champion in the White House that would report, say, to the chief of staff and link back to teams that foresight experts, whether it would be RAND or MITRE or some other group or within the agencies. And then the third recommendation is to engage the President's Management Council, which is largely the deputy secretaries, who are the chief operating officers for the departments, to develop foresight capacity within each of the departments. Currently, there is some capacity, but it's rather scattered and disjointed and different levels of maturity within different agencies.
We're speaking with John Kamensky, senior fellow with the IBM Center for the Business of Government and also chairman of the panel on strategic foresight at the National Academy of Public Administration. And it seems like there's another party called Congress that sometimes passes laws without really having a lot of strategic foresight because they act so reactively. Can they be partners in this whole process in some manner?
Yes, they can. And what's interesting is that back in the 70s, there was a Congressional Institute for the Future, I believe it was called, where they engaged with congressional decision makers on future-oriented issues. And there was also the Office of Technology Assessment, and those kinds of functions largely went away in the 80s and the 90s. But there still is a requirement in the House rules to factor in foresight issues in making congressional decisions. So there's this requirement there, but it just hasn't been resurfaced lately.
Maybe Congressional Budget Office scoring of bills is a form, a limited form of strategic foresight.
Well, that's much more strategic planning. They base things on what is known. They don't try to game out various potential unknowns or alternative scenarios.
Do you think that an administration coming in with lots of great ideas and a lot of energy could be persuaded by strategic foresight to maybe avoid a policy that they thought was really a great idea?
Or at least, what are the alternative consequences? Are there different ways of implementing that policy? So there's more than one way of implementing a particular policy.
And is there perhaps one way of mitigating the future consequences with the policy that you want to do?
It could be. I mean, you have to actually be within a particular scenario to be able to figure some of that out. But the Defense Department, Homeland Security, components within the Justice Department, and other agents, Postal Service, they all have foresight units within them that are working on specific things within their jurisdiction. So, for example, the Coast Guard has been using future alternative scenario planning for over two decades, and they've helped to position the Coast Guard for things like the opening of Cuba or the advent of non-state actors contributing to the maritime domain awareness strategy they've had. So some agencies have actually been doing this and applying it to their strategic planning and their longer-term efforts.
Yeah, the Cuba example in the Coast Guard presents another question because you don't know what could change in the world that would affect the policy. So maybe as you look at the policy and see how that would affect the world, then the concomitant activity for strategic foresight to look at possible changes in the world and what that could do to your policies.
Yes. The Coast Guard started this a number of years ago, and they established tentative relationships with the Cuban counterparts, their Coast Guard, so that when the policy was changed, there was already a relationship built there to ensure safety in the waterways there.
All right. So the bottom line is, though, that you would like to see the panel, the NAPA, would like to see this embedded more in the way agencies operate in the future.
Yes. And as well at the White House level, so that potential policy decisions that reach across agency boundaries would be assessed as well. The Canadian government has a government-wide unit that deals with strategic foresight, and they help inform the actions across agency boundaries as well as for individual agencies.
John Kaminsky is chairman of the panel on strategic foresight for the National Academy of Public Administration. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
He's also senior fellow at the IBM Center for the Business of Government. You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.